Yeah, that Al Qaeda was making advancements thanks to the current attack. So on the one hand, you have the US supporting an attack on the Houthis, but on the other hand, they're actually recognizing that this attack could weaken the Houthis and actually reinforce Al Qaeda in the region. So the US is participating in an operation that is strengthening Al Qaeda. Something isn't making sense here. I mean, it is really, because we obviously know that there is a strong desire to destabilize and to create and foster more chaos and more division in the region. But of course, this clashes with the official line coming out of the US, which is that they are supposedly fighting ISIS and fighting Al-Qaeda, where we know for a fact that everywhere they've been actually fighting, ISIS have actually gained more traction, Al-Qaeda has increased its presence, and in many, many cases, arms that were supposed to be delivered to those fighting Al-Qaeda have actually landed in Al-Qaeda and all these affiliate groups' hands.
That's the biggest question, Lawrence Korb, isn't it? If that is the fact that if Saudi Arabia is fighting against the Ansarullah movement Houthi fighters, who were the ones who've been successful prior to the war in defeating Al-Qaeda in many parts of Yemen, doesn't the fact that Saudi Arabia is now going against the Houthis, bombing them and killing them, being on the same side as Al-Qaeda, which the U.S. has said is the biggest threat, the AQAP, the biggest threat to the U.S. mainland, doesn't make sense?
Well, there's no doubt about it that there's a lot of conflicting interests there. The fact of the matter is, if the Houthis really wanted us to continue to go after Al-Qaeda, they wouldn't have chased us out of the base at Aden, where we had drones and special forces to do that. So, yeah, you've got a lot of conflicting interests, and there's no doubt about the fact that the Houthis don't like Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula anyway. And that's why you need we should have left the government
and the U.S.
of
as well.
President
there
Heidi in
people.
There. We wouldn't have these problems. We would.
Go ahead.
They took it over by armed force. The Houthis were.
Hafsakar Mustafa, you made a statement there.
I think that it's perfectly legitimate for the Houthis, who are Yemenis first and foremost, who are Arabs, who are indigenous to the population, not to want foreigners to come and meddle in their affairs, whether those foreigners are Saudi, but even more so if those foreigners are Americans. They didn't want the Americans to be in their country, and that's a perfectly legitimate thing to do. How would Mr. Korb appreciate if Houthis were actually settling today in the U.S.? Probably wouldn't appreciate it, and therefore it's perfectly legitimate for the Houthis in their country to actually reject foreigners coming and meddling in their own affairs.
Go ahead, Lawrence Korb.
Now, President Heidi asked the Saudis and the U.S. to come in. He's the only legitimate ruler they have. The Houthis are not the legitimate rulers. They took over by force of arms.
Yeah, but didn't Heidi resign?
The Houthis are Yemenis.
Go ahead.
Hafsakar
Mustafa, go ahead.
Well, so is Heidi. So is Heidi. He's Yemenis, too.
My point is, both parties are Yemeni, and I'd appreciate that, and I would agree with you on that one, but both parties need to settle their affairs within Yemen and between Yemeni hands. It is not for Saudi Arabia or the U.S. or any other foreign entity to come and resolve the issues that are taking place that are opposing Yemenis. If there is a crisis in Yemen today, and I think that is perfectly recognizable, but that crisis needs to be resolved among Yemenis. Houthis are Yemenis, and they don't need foreigners, Saudis, or even more so Americans, coming into their country and telling them how to rule their country or how to take power. This is a Yemeni issue, and it's not for Saudi Arabia or Americans to actually meddle in their affairs.
Lawrence Korb.
Are you denying that the Houthis are getting aid from outside the country? They're getting aid from Iran. I mean, so if you're talking about meddling, that's what started it.
Both Iran and the Houthis have denied it.
That's why I agree with the Iranians. We need a negotiation.
Well, both Iran and...
Well, but they're wrong.
And the Houthis have denied it.
I know, it doesn't matter. It's very clear.
So they're wrong, but you're right.
But they've denied a lot of things, but there's no... Well... I mean, there's no doubt about
the fact that Iran has been aiding them, at least, that Iran isn't pounding Saudi Arabia.
Lawrence Korb.
well, wait a second. Iran is aiding a lot of groups there, Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis. Now, I will agree they're not giving them the same amount of aid they give to Hezbollah or to Assad, but they are giving them aid. Without that aid, they wouldn't have been successful in getting rid of Haiti. And so the idea that a group can come in and the legitimate president can ask for outside help, to me, is perfectly keeping with international law.
Okay.
If they had support, let them win an election.
This is what doesn't make sense, Lawrence Korb. So you have Saudi Arabia and its alliance, I guess. They're bombing Yemen, and they are behind a group by the name of Al-Isla. Okay. Now, Al-Isla is a group that they actually shunned. They didn't support it. They've changed that around. They're supporting it. But Al-Isla was the one that was blamed for taking away the revolution of the popular uprising that started back in 2011. So go figure that out. You have Yemeni people who are behind a popular support for the Ansarullah movements, and then you have Saudi Arabia that's supporting the group that stole the revolution away from this popular uprising. So that's going against the will of the Yemenis. Does that make sense?
Well, again, if you go back and you took a look, and we haven't even mentioned them, you've got the former dictator, Saleh, who's allying himself with the Houthis. He used to kill the Houthis when he was in there. But a lot of the military stayed loyal to him, and that change of government was all part of the Arab Spring. Okay, this was not just Saudi Arabia. It was all the countries that had the change, much like they did in Egypt and Tunisia. And they tried to have in Syria before Russia and Iran got involved in supporting Assad.
And after all that's been said, Hafsa Qara Mustafa, the Houthis have come out and said, unless you have a reaction to Lawrence Korb, the Houthis have said, the Ansarullah movements, that we're open to talks, we're open to negotiations, but Saudi Arabia has to stop their aerial campaign, and the precondition being the Hadi cannot return because he's lost legitimacy. But yet Saudi Arabia says, we're going to end it when we want to. And Iran, of course, is on a diplomatic mission right now to try to end this illegal war. So doesn't leave much room for diplomacy there on Saudi Arabia's part, backed by the U.S.
Well, I think it really reveals the entire tragedy that the Arab world is currently going through. I mean, we've heard the Saudis try to promote this onslaught on Yemen as some sort of Arab solidarity movement. And it's rather saddening to note that the only nation that is speaking out for the civilian casualties is actually a non-Arab nation, which is Iran. Meanwhile, we're seeing a coalition of Arab countries actually pounding an impoverished nation, causing an unprecedented amount of civilian victims. And this is particularly saddening given that many in the region have been fiercely critical of the drone campaign led by the US, which led to so many civilian deaths. And yet now we're seeing the same number of casualties at the hands of an Arab and Muslim military force. So I think this really reveals the tragedy that currently is engulfing the region. And it's engulfing the region because we're having such a reactionary force from Saudi Arabia. Now, Mr. Korb insisted on the legitimacy of elections. I find it rather funny that when dealing with a theocracy such as Saudi Arabia that is led by people who have absolutely no legitimacy through elections can actually dictate to another nation, to a sovereign nation, how to behave, specifically because al-Hadi somehow had a form of legitimacy through farcical elections.
Lawrence Korb, if you were the commander in force, I mean, if you were just the one who could dictate the shots as a U.S. Official in that capacity, 14 days now of bombing, how would you go about it now? Would you give diplomacy a chance, or would you back Saudi Arabia to continue its campaign?
No, I think you got to give diplomacy a chance. The Saudi, from a military point of view, you can't win this with air power. And if you send ground troops in, like the Egyptians did back in the 60s, that's not going to work either. You need a negotiated solution. You ought to have the UN or somebody come in and negotiate it. That's what I would do. But what this discussion has shown, I think, quite well is all the mixed alliances. The United States is working with Iran in Iraq, but we're working against Iran in Syria. I mean, the whole thing is convoluted. And in Yemen, obviously, we got the Houthis do go after al-Qaeda. And so you have all of these mixed things here where you can't say, well, this group is on one side here or they on another side. And hopefully we can get the nuclear deal will be the beginning where we can start to sort these things out.
And finally, Hafsatkar Mustafa, do you think the U.S. is after a negotiated solution along with Saudi Arabia?
No, I don't think so. I think the U.S. actually thrives on conflict, and it has a lot of interest in seeing the region continue to go down this chaotic route. Can I just say that Iran is not working with the U.S. in Iraq. Iran is actually working with the Iraqi government and its neighboring government, and not with the U.S. So I don't think there are sort of some covert alliances that are happening between Iran and the U.S. And currently, the U.S. is still pressing for harsh sanctions against Iran, despite Iran not having violated any international law or being probably the only stable country in the region that isn't violating or trying to invade any other country. But again, I think that the situation is unlikely to develop in a positive way given the alliance between Saudi and the US. These are countries that have been instrumental in destabilizing the region, and I think that the evidence showing that they're working together is actually a very negative sign for the future of Yemen.
Very well. We're going to have to unfortunately end it there. Thank you very much, journalist and political analyst Hafsatkar Mustafa there from London. And thank you very much, Lawrence Korb, U.S. foreign policy and national security analyst who spoke to us from Washington. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitaly and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.